5 minutes. Somebody needs to.
All right. I understand that that was a long 5 minutes, but we're ready to start our forum once again. We would like to ask for the county commissioners, the candidates for county commission, to come forward, take a look at the name tags, take a seat at your appropriately labeled position. And we have the county commissioners seated in the same order that they were in down in Marbleton, so we can kind of pick up where we left off as far as the staggered response as we go through and ask questions of the county commissioners. Again, anybody here in the Lovett room of the library that has a question, raise your hand. Somebody will bring you an index card. You can write out your question. It'll be turned into the media table. We realize we can't get all of the questions asked, but one thing that we're going to do today is try to get through this a little sooner to give everybody more time to come and ask their questions one-on-one with the candidates, all of which I believe will be staying after the forum a little bit here to talk with the general public. Just a quick rundown of who the candidates are. We have 7 Republicans and 1 Democrat that will be appearing on the ballot. Republicans include Ernie Kawa, Jim Latta, John Lynn, Kay Malkowski, Rocky Piernick, Paul Rock, and Doug Vickery. The 1 Democrat is Courtney Skinner. He's running unopposed, but we're letting him come in here and sit down amidst the Republicans who are surrounding him to let everybody get a chance to know who all these candidates are and where they stand on the issues. All right, I think we're ready to begin with some opening statements, but before we do that, I just want to quickly go over what does a county commissioner do. The role of the commissioner is laid out in Wyoming State Statute 18-3-504, which says the following. It says the general role is, quote, to care for county property and manage the business and concerns of the county in all cases where no provision is made by law. But the main role of the Board of Commissioners is financial. The appointment and levying of taxes. State and federal law allows counties to level a certain amount of tax and to apportion the funds brought in. With these funds, the commissioners build and maintain county buildings for the benefit of the county and settle all accounts, receipts, and other expenses for the county. So let's go ahead and start with our county commissioners. We left off with the only person from yesterday who didn't start first was Doug Vickery. So this time, Doug, we'll let you start with an opening statement for 2 minutes. Doug Vickery.
Am I on? We didn't know this last night, and I got set by Courtney last night, too. I guess the reason that I want to be a commissioner is because I want to try to give back to this community what it has so graciously given to me. When you look outside and you walk out of this building tonight, you look around and say, wow, what a place to live. It just doesn't get any better than that. And I think those who are in charge of maintaining that need to be a part of this community. That's what I am. I've lived here virtually all my life, both into the community. I've invested. My wife and I have been married for 50 years. She's an extension of me, although sometimes I think I'm the extension of her. She's my soulmate, and she and I together have made the decision. And I hope when this election's over to be able to proudly say I represent Sublette County as a commissioner. And that's what I would like to be. With your blessing, I will be. Thank you.
County Commissioner candidate Doug Vickery. Now, maintaining the same order from where we left off in Marbleton, our next respondent with a 2-minute opening statement, candidate Ernie Kawa.
Okay, everybody talks about their qualifications, like being a lifelong resident, business experience, they have degrees in this and that, committee experience, et cetera. So I guess it's my turn. This is who I am, and these are my real-life, roll-up-your-sleeve experiences. I moved here with my family in 1973. I'm a third-generation American, a veteran. I stepped up and served in the Air Force 4 years during the Vietnam campaign. I've been married for 43 years, have 2 daughters, 3 grandchildren, have a type A personality, never been arrested or issued a traffic violation, have almost 400 hours in specialized training, including quality management, emergency management, hostage negotiations, critical incident communication, law enforcement telecommunications, dispatcher techniques, advanced communications, leadership and influence, EMT provider, basic life support, first aid, CPR, first line supervision. I was a field training officer, have computer training, trained in map reading and interpretation, was a commander of the Pinedale Search and Rescue for 2 years, was a volunteer fireman for Pinedale. I belong to the NRA, am a conservative Republican, was a dispatcher for 20 years. I trained dispatchers for 15 years. I wrote the dispatch manual, was terminal agency coordinator with the state, was involved in state audits, entered Wyoming wants and warrants information in the local, state, and federal systems. I've been a bus driver for almost 10 years. I like to hunt and fish. I've been a coach for Pee Wee basketball for 5 years, been self-employed for 10 years. I'm experienced in upper management. I have a pilot's license, attended a year and a half of college. I never took food stamps or collected an unemployment check. I vote, own property, pay taxes. I'm not afraid to stand up for what I believe in, and I hold myself to a higher standard. I want to thank you all for coming, and thank you for listening to me.
All right, County Commissioner candidate Ernie Cowell. Next, with an opening statement, Jim Latta. Jim?
Thank you, first of all, to the organizers of this event. I appreciate your time and effort. I'd like to clear up a few rumors. Lori and I do not own a house in Key West, and if I'm elected, I'll be a full-time, four-season resident of Sublette County. I do support the Sublette Center, served on the board there 2 years as the chairman, and I continue to support all of the senior care issues in Sublette County. If you have been told that I want to cut the wages of county employees, you've been misinformed. So, why am I running? I think my experience in education can aid our county in sustaining a viable future. What's important to me, a quality road system, because roads serve commerce, and commerce is our lifeline. The old and the young, the people that can't help themselves, deserve the attention and the funding of county government. I'd like to continue the effort for tax relief for individual property owners in the legislature. I think a positive relationship with federal agencies is extremely important because we have so many people in our county whose livelihoods rely on multiple use of public lands. Last and most importantly, probably, is responsible budgeting to assure a sustainable future. We got to make sure that we have enough money set aside to wash the windows on all the wonderful facilities that we've built recently. I will represent all of Sublette County. I'll have office hours in Big Piney Marbleton as well as Pinedale, and I'll name advisory groups in both communities. I feel that my credentials put me in a solid position to serve our county. I have no personal agenda, I do not do business with the county, and I have no relationship with the county other than as a taxpayer citizen. See my website, jimlattaforcommissioner.com, for more information. It would be my privilege to serve as your commissioner.
Thank you very much, candidate Jim Latta. Our next opening statement is from incumbent county commissioner John Lim. John?
Thanks, Bob. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Lynn, and I'm your current county commissioner. I would first like to thank the media again for their hard work making these forums happen, and for the candidates that are attending, and also to the voters interested in deciphering big differences between us to make that all-important informed decision. For those of you that don't know me, I was raised in Sublette County. I've been married to my wife, Kim, who's here tonight, for 33 years. We've been blessed with 3 children and 1 grandchild who still live and work in the area today. I was self-employed for 30 years. I made my living fencing and oil field construction until about 4 years ago when I sold our company and became a full-time commissioner dedicating myself to the benefit of Sublette County. I've always considered myself a full-time committed commissioner. I'm educated and informed on the diverse issues facing Sublette County today. I attend many meetings and functions with surrounding county officials as cooperators to coordinate with federal and state agencies on issues and impacts that will affect Sublette County. There have been many complex issues with requiring hard decisions, and I've never shied away from them or lively discussions to bring fresh ideas or dissenting opinion to the table. influences are coming from all directions concerning local, state, and federal land management, and it is now more important than ever to have our interests protected. We need someone who understands the process, the issues, and the people, so that we can be effective to guide future land management. I'm committed to protecting our air, water, jobs, and way of life. Thank you.
Thank you, candidate John Lynn, incumbent county commissioner right now. Our next candidate for county commission, Kay Malkowski. And I think they're getting ready to shove a microphone over you. Oh, you've got one.
I got one.
All right, sounds good. Let's go.
I'm Kay Malkowski. I love Sublette County, and I want to be a part of the decision-making process. And the best way to do that is to be a leader in the county and be on the board of Sublette County Commissioners. I want to see the county progress into the future. Born and raised in Sublette County, I graduated from Big Piney in 73, attended Northwest Community College in Powell. I married Jim Malkowski, and we moved to Daniel in 78. We raised two boys, graduated them from Pinedale High School. They went on to receive college degrees. Morgan is a production, coal production supervisor in Gillette. Matthew is a captain in the Army, and he's stationed in Fort Rucker, Alabama. I've been attending county commissioner meetings regularly for the past 8 months, where I've learned about the important issues in the county. Although the current board's doing an adequate job, there's some issues that need to be addressed, such as prioritizing funding and how the money is going to be spent, consistency in some of the decisions made, and the details, the need to have details of the agenda available prior to the meeting to make informed decisions. I'm a qualified candidate because I'm good at seeing the big picture, not just one side of an issue. I will not make a decision without being informed and having had time to analyze it. In order to make these informed decisions, I will use the many available resources throughout the county and the extended area. Sublette County is blessed with a vast array of industries, and I will work hard to balance these different assets. Serving as commissioner is a huge time commitment, far beyond the twice monthly meetings. With my kids grown and out of the house, I have the time to devote to the communities that's made this county home for multiple generations of my family. I have the time and the desire to commit to the job. I would appreciate your vote on August 21st. Thank you.
Candidate Kay Malkowski, thank you. Our next candidate, his real name is Roman Piernik, but we know him better as Rocky. Rocky Piernik.
Thank you. My name is Roman Piernik. I am a native of Sublette County, and I would like to take this time to thank all of the people of this county that have asked me repeatedly to run again for county commission. I couldn't go anywhere on the street to the grocery store or the gas station. Someone would approach me and say, run for county commission again. So now you know why I'm here again. I'm running because the people have asked me to. That's why I feel that I could represent the people of Sublette County at the county commission level. Thank you.
Candidate Rocky Piernik. Our next opening statement comes from Paul Rock. Paul?
Hi, my name's Paul Rock. I've lived here in Sublette County, the Pinedale area, for 33 years. I came up here 33 years ago. I had an opportunity and honor, actually, to work on a hay crew on a ranch north of Cora, and the physical beauty of this place, the friendliness of the people, just blew me away. And I commenced to do anything I had to stay here and earn a living. And back in 1982, I met my wife. She and I have been married, well, on October 9th, it'll be 30 years. I'm a have my own business and had my own business for 20 years. For the past 10, I've been a certified general real estate appraiser. I know a thing or two about private property rights. These are not just buzzwords to me. I'm a voter, a business owner. I served a four-year stint with the United States Marine Corps back in the 60s. The reason I want to be a Sublette County Commissioner is that I've been politically active for quite a while as a private citizen, kind of coming in, holding elected officials' feet to the fire. And I'd like to make the next step and be the elected official that you folks come in and hold my feet to the fire. I'm not really against anything that's legal to do. Two things I'm going to want to know, though, is there a need for whatever it is you want done, and two, is there money available to do it? Thank you.
Candidate Paul Rock. Now, sandwiched amongst all of these Republicans, we have our lone Democrat, Courtney Skinner. Courtney, now notice again, we didn't put you at the very end. You're in amongst our Republican friends here. But Courtney will be unopposed on the Democratic primary ballot. But Courtney, we're glad you're here, and we want to hear your opening statement.
Well, thank you, Bob, and pleasant good evening all. It's again a pleasure to sit beside these two gentlemen and Mr. Vickery, because I had the whole day in his love of Wyoming in the LaBarge area, measuring water, and I could see why his passion and that for this county is very great in regards to the beauty, the people, and the countryside. If I were to say I was a lifelong resident, it would be a mistake. We moved here when I was 6 weeks old. Our father came from the Pitchfork Ranch in Metiche, along with these three older brothers, one here tonight, and myself, and a buffalo, and, of course, our mother, Viola. We were at the Box K Ranch out at Soda Lake. That's where some of them started their schooling in that, and where a younger brother, Quentin, was born. I would rather use an introduction in regards to what our father had to say in regards to I've been all over the world and part of Sublette County. And in my case, I have saved that best part for the last and my later years. It's been my pleasure since the 40-some years of Skinner Brothers in the Wind River Mountains to come clear across the whole state of Wyoming, and for the last 2 years be part of the Water Commissioner down in Big Piney. And each way I go, I equal Mr. Vickery's love of this county and the state of Wyoming.
All right, Democratic candidate Courtney Skinner. And wrapping up introductions, let's see, you started the introductions, didn't you?
Yeah, Bob, but you didn't give me a bottle of water.
Thank you. All right, I just walked up and handed him a bottle. In fact, he's got two bottles of water now, so he's in good shape, Doug Vickery. All right, I think we're ready for the first question. Megan Rollins had to leave, and so we have Bill Winnie, contributor to KPIN Radio, common voice on Posted and Sell. And also we have with the Sublette Examiner, Andy Setterholm. Andy, do you have the first question here? Okay.
Candidates, this is an issue that we skipped over last night, but it's definitely something that we would like to address. Forgive me if the language is a little unorganized here. We tried to put this question together from about six different questions, but this is regarding senior housing. If a single-purpose excise tax or penny tax to support senior housing did not pass, would you still support funding the project? And where would you seek funding? Would you support using the rest of the or finishing the project with county funds? Should something that in many areas of the nation is operated as a private entity be funded by the local government? Should the county financially support any private entity, whether it be for-profit or a non-profit?
All right, you got all that. We're starting now with Ernie Kawa. Ernie.
Okay, senior housing. Your fault.
Okay. Right.
Okay, senior housing should be funded by the county. It's our seniors. They're needing help. Let's help them. That's what we got a rainy day fund for. And as far as taxing to get more money, I don't believe we ought to do that. We've got a rainy day fund, and if they're needing help, they should have it.
Thank you.
Candidate Ernie Kawa. Next respondent to that same question, Jim Latta.
Well, the Sublet Center is a 501c3 organization, so it is not a county entity. If the county decides to set aside money, which the commissioners have committed to, for capital construction, I think that we should ask the voters to consider a SPET tax, which runs for a certain period of time for a certain amount of money, so that that 501c3 corporation could pay back to the county taxpayers the money that the commissioners have committed for the capital construction. The concern I think that all of us have is not capital construction as much as it is long-term maintenance and operations money. So the problem is probably bigger than the question suggests, but it makes sense to me that would be a sensible road to follow.
Candidate Jim Latta. Our next respondent, John Lynn.
Well, as Jim mentioned, the commission has already committed the reserves that we have for the year that are excess revenues above what we intend to spend this year for county functions and road projects. Those revenues, of course, aren't set in stone. We don't know what this excess revenue might be because of those big road projects that we're doing, Horse Creek and Calpet. So my vision is that we would have somewhere between $25 and $30 million to tackle this project. I think it's a pretty foregone conclusion that the county supports senior housing. But the county would own this building when it was done, and it would be leased to the nonprofit corporation to keep the Sublet Center concept alive. My intention is that we see the SPET tax go to a certain level. We haven't found that out yet because we're doing studies as far as costs and maintenance that might be associated with the new Sublet Center and also possibly a shortfall that the center may need to function. So we're still in the investigative stage to find out what amount of funding we'll need and that we could count on for a SPET tax proposal. We do have the support of the three towns. We've funded the phase one of this senior housing in Big Pawnee and Marbleton. We intend to continue along this investigative course. The Sublet Center is vigilantly looking at all the options, whether to see what we can afford. We're looking at this from every aspect so that we can get the biggest bang for our buck and not have a real drag on our expenses later. We're putting $55,000 a month into the facility now, and hopefully they will become more efficient and be able to handle their own expenses. Thank you.
Candidate John Lynn. Our next respondent is candidate Kay Malkowski.
I think there's no doubt that Sublet County needs to have a new center. It's a no-brainer. It's been 40 years since we've not had a facility like this, so we need to have it. Whether we use what we've got in reserve, I think we'll probably use some reserve. We're probably going to end up using some SPET tax. It's not something that's going to be there forever. It's going to take a lot of paperwork, as John said. They've already started doing that. It's going to be it's a huge issue, and it's going to take some time to get all the details worked out and the kinks worked out. So I'm certainly in favor of it. I don't think there's anybody here that's not and would vote for that. Thank you.
Candidate Kay Malkowski. Next to respond, Rocky Piernick.
Well, I'm all for the senior housing with restraint. I think we really need to look long and hard at this issue based upon, first, cost, second, use, and third, maintenance of this facility over the long term. In the construction phase, what little knowledge I have about building, if this thing is done correctly, and when I say done correctly, meaning it is built for the long haul, then the maintenance support of it goes down. Yes, I'm in favor of the senior housing.
Candidate Rocky Piernick. Next to respond, Paul Rock.
It's like I said during my opening statement, I'm not against anything that's legal, but first show me the need for it and then show me where the money's coming from. I think the need for senior housing, both the senior center in Pinedale, and they're kind of starting the ball rolling with senior housing down in Marbleton. I've got no problem with either of them, but the funding is not clearly set up enough for me. I mean, what happens if the vote for the tax fails? Do they go ahead and, you know, to heck with the election, let's fund it anyway? I'd like to say, I was kind of disturbed when I read it recently in one of the papers, I think when the senior center plans were discussed, the fact that so many of the actual residents were not consulted about what they wanted, how they wanted it set up. Did it have to be quite as luxurious as an architect might want it to be? I think those were very good questions that those folks raised, and I'd like to see them kind of have more of a voice in it than they've had so far. Thank you.
Candidate Paul Rock. Next to respond, Courtney Skinner.
Yes. Anything that we can do to improve the quality of life of our seniors and keep them within the county and keep them with their families and where they were raised. I do believe it should go to a vote of the people, and if that were to fail, then look at other alternates, but to give the voice to the people itself rather than just the three on the commission or to get the vote out. And in also regards, and I'm sure the gentleman to my left is going to say it because it was his idea that there should be an endowment or a means of continued support both for the maintenance, the upkeep, and the perpetuality of it. And that was Mr. Vickery's idea. I hope. I saw it in print.
Candidate Courtney Skinner. And to his left, candidate Doug Vickery.
Thank you, Courtney. When I look from one end of this table to the other, I see a lot of gray heads and some of us with not a lot of gray hair. So we're eventually headed there, as most of you folks are. And I think Kay said it best. It's a no-brainer, but what's it going to cost? We need to have something in solid numbers, or pretty much so, so that we do know what we're looking at in the future. Do I want to tie my grandkids into the operational expenses? No. So having said that, I believe this. I believe a special use tax is the best way to go. It gives us all involvement, even though our involvement is not nearly as great as some other industrial folks. But it gives us that opportunity to say, yes, we did vote for it, and yes, this is what we want to have, and yes, I think that endowment is essential to the future maintenance and operational expenses. It just has to be that way because the incomes that we're accustomed to are not going to be here forever. So the things that we hold dear to our hearts, and I'm telling you, it's the seniors, of which I already am one, but I'm fast becoming one if I'm not, and we need to take care of the folks that have taken care of us. Thank you.
Candidate Doug Vickery. All right. Everybody got a chance to answer, right? So we're on to the next question. Bill Winnie, I'll let you ask the next question.
When the deal of the Colorado River Compact was struck some many years ago, the Colorado Basin was in one of its wetter times in probably 1,000 or so years. Wyoming has not been using its allocation, and all those guys downstream have been sucking up their allocation plus some. And we know that what we call a drought today is frankly still above that long-term average. So what would you do to encourage Wyoming to use its allocation in the Green River Basin, and how would you go about that? And could you touch on the proposed project above the Warren Bridge?
Beginning the answering, candidate Jim Latta.
You know, water is the most important asset we have, probably, in the Green River Valley. And I agree that we must approach that issue. But I'm thinking that the role of a county commissioner is to work cooperatively with the rest of the agencies in the state legislature and the Water Development Corporation to come up with the ideas that may exist to try and solve the problem. As far as the dam above Warren Bridge, my friend Dan Budd said, by God, if you get elected, you better be in favor of that. I'm not quite sure that I am, but water storage in our part of the world is very, very, very important. So I think all aspects of your question, Bill, need to be considered. I'm not real familiar with the issues of the Water Development Corporation, but that obviously is the place to start. As a commissioner, I think it would be an on-the-sidelines role. Thank you.
Jim Latta. Next to respond, John Lynn.
Dan Budd has weighed in on this several times. He pounds the table, and we try to do what we can to respond to that. Of course, storage is the answer. We have limited options in Sublette County. One of the options is the proposed, at one time, dam above Warren Bridge. The commission wrote a letter to the Water Development Corporation asking for money to sponsor a study of that dam. It has been crucified every time it ever got anywhere close to the committee. So that is going to be a real hard sell. There's still work and effort towards that. I think there's a couple things. One that I've been helping or trying to work with, and that's the dam at Middle Piney Lake, west of Big Piney. The dam there is considered to be a very big hazard. It nearly breached a couple years ago, and they're going to rebuild it. Now, I've talked to the people involved and tried to see what the county could do as far as help. The road into the lake needs to be repaired as well, and so I've tried to figure out a way where the county equipment could help as in-kind contributions to that, but that would be one place that we can store some water. I think the other most important thing about water that we have in Sublette County is understanding who the users are. Of course, the municipality here is dependent on the water out of Fremont Lake. We have to be real careful about that. Agricultural uses in Wyoming, or in Sublette County in particular, if you look at a map of all the green areas, everything we have that's under flood irrigation was created since they started irrigating. And those are the places that we have wildlife, we have our cattle, and if we lose the incentive to irrigate those lands, we will lose both of those, and we will lose the water.
Candidate John Lynn. Our next candidate to respond, Kay Malkowski.
Obviously, water is one of those things we have to be really on top of, and as these guys have said, it's storage. I can't tell you I'm an expert on it. I'd have to tap some resources because I haven't studied it. I do know, I'm familiar with the dam above 40 Rod, basically, where I live on Warren Bridge, and it would affect a lot of fishermen, and nobody was going to want to do that because it affects a lot of people coming down there and fishing. So we're going to have to look at other ways and other places maybe to build maybe smaller dams, some kind of storage of some type. So like I said, it's something I'd have to do some tapping into resources and finding the answers.
Kay Malkowski. Next respondent, Rocky Piernick.
Well, 2 years ago when I sat up at this forum, this was one of the things that I had set forth, was the addressing of the water problems that this county is going to face. We have creatures upon our back that a lot of you don't even know his name. Has anyone in here heard of Aaron Million? Lots of people have heard of Aaron Million. Well, he's from Colorado, and he wants to pipe water from the Green River over the mountains past Rawlins into the Front Range of Colorado, which is Denver and down through the whole area, clear to Pueblo. They're approaching this now on an allocation of the Colorado River Compact for the municipalities. Well, there's more people in Lakewood, Colorado, than there is in our state. Why can't we, as a community, Sublette County, Big Piney, Pinedale, Boulder, file for municipal allocations on our own water? Why can't we do that? What's the problem? All we have to do is start the ball rolling and file the applications. Thank you.
Rocky Piernik. Next, Paul Rock.
I'm not so sure this is something that would be instigated by a Sublette County Commissioner. I'm not opposed to doing a study of the situation. I am reluctant to say that I would support some kind of dam above the Warren Bridge without talking to a whole bunch of people, many of whom have property above the Warren Bridge. And also Dan Budd about that. Thank you.
Candidate Paul Rock. Next, Courtney Skinner.
Well, I'll have to say that Dan Budd may be a person of vision. We have to look at all of the options, all of the means that we can, because it has to move to a number one priority. For the last two summers, I have been a water commissioner, and I have learned the value, the laws, and the use of the beneficial use of our water. And certainly one of the things that we cannot have is Mr. Million taking our water, and with the question there, our allocation. Wyoming is one of the Colorado River compacts that has not used their allocation of water. Storage has to be looked at, certainly. Those of you who drove to Big Piney this winter knew the other hill outside of Daniel. There was a drought taking place. They would got no snow from the Horse Creek side all the way to Big Piney down to LaBarge, and it is becoming very critical. They also do not have, in that section of the Green River, much of storage rights and storage to put it up. Whereas our irrigators, our ranchers, our municipalities are blessed in the Wind River Range with storage, perhaps sometimes not adequate, as can be said, but at least it is storage and we are greener. But Wyoming water should stay Wyoming water.
Courtney Skinner. Next to respond, Doug Vickery.
I'll make no bones about it. We do not, I'm going to repeat, do not need a dam on the main stem of the Green River above Warren Bridge. Number one, in our time, it wouldn't happen. The lawsuits it would entail would be astronomical. The cost associated would be astronomical. The benefits, as far as agriculture is concerned, would be minimal. And the reason I say that, because I've irrigated out of the Green River since 1966. Now, that's not forever, but it's getting to be pretty close. And over those years, we've seen the rise and the fall of the Green River. Some years it's really ramped down through there, and other years you wonder if it's even gonna muddy up. This was one of those years. The Green River, for whatever reason, is blessed by God and the glaciers that feed it. If ever there was something we need to take care of, it would be that Green River, and damming it, in my mind, is not the way to do it. One of the reasons that bothers me as a person that owns water rights off the green, is when you traverse that thing, you see a lot of green space, a lot of wet space, a lot of habitat for waterfowl. If that dam is put up there, it may not, I got 30 seconds. It may not take it very long before those green spaces would diminish to the point where, wow, we're sagebrush again. The appropriate place for storage to me is the smaller creeks, the least expensive ones, the less invasives to private property, and I believe that water could be held in abundance and sent down that river in critical need. Thank you.
Candidate Doug Vickery. And wrapping up the questioning, candidate Ernie Kawa.
Legislators that better handle it than the county commissioners, for one thing. And one way they might be able to help out a little bit is with the process to get water rights. If you ever tried to, I bought a piece of property that didn't have water rights. In order to get water rights, the process is so long, you've got to wait so long. I mean, if they can just make it where you fill out an application, get your water rights, use it, that would help a great deal. But that's up to them to do. And as far as the project above the Warren Bridge for a dam, I think the people have spoken, and until they're convinced otherwise, we should just leave it the way it is. Thank you.
Ernie Kawa. All right, that completes that round of questions. Let's go back to the media table. Again, if you're out listening on the radio, the email address, if you want to submit a question, is forum@pinedaleonline.com. Don Blue is here monitoring email, so we'll get it in real time. Let's go back now to Andy Setterholm with the Sublet Examiner.
Candidates, this is a question that we received from the public. How would you have handled an expenditure as large as the new fair building, which I believe cost around $9 million? Would you have gone with public meetings, a penny tax, or simply voted on the issue? And I think we'd like to kind of broaden this out to ask, how would you foresee yourself as a commissioner handling large expenses to the county, and when do these expenses get large enough that we could consider a penny tax or other options?
All right, starting with the answers, John Lynn.
Big ticket items, they don't scare me as far as evaluating their need or evaluating the viability of them for whatever purpose. I don't have any problem looking at those and making a vote. I don't need the public. I mean, they've elected me to represent them on this kind of an issue. Now, there's been some things that have gone to the taxpayer. For instance, the rec center and the fine arts building that we proposed in Pinedale. Actually, we didn't propose it. It was proposed from the citizens. Those things failed, and they failed because, one, they weren't very well planned, and two, they were way, way out of line for extravagance. For anybody that doesn't know, I voted against the fair building at the fairgrounds, the big new one, and one of the reasons that I did was because of the unbelievable expense that we have for that building in the wintertime. It costs us probably close to $5,000 between heat and lights for that building, and we're not even using it. That's keeping the temperature in there up at 45 degrees. Now, that's a problem for me, and I'm growling about it pretty much all the time. I have a problem anytime that we see these utility bills come in, and it's because we're either heating air from outside that's being exchanged and sent back outside. We just need better engineering, and this particular building was one of those problems for me. I voted against it, and I still have a hard time with it.
Candidate John Lynn. Next to respond, Kay Malkowski.
We just talked about the Sublet Center, which is going to be a big building, big expense, ongoing, and obviously there's going to be a lot of public input into that, I think. But ultimately, it will be the commissioner's decision to fund it or not fund it. So I think you have to do your due diligence. You have to make sure that buildings are built as well as they possibly can be. And I think the commissioners have gone a long way as far as getting architects and building managers and trying to make sure what happened down there at the Fair Building doesn't happen again. So at this point, I would have to fund the Sublet Center, and if we're looking at building other stuff, we'd have to really sit down and talk about it because we need to get that as a priority first. Thanks.
Kay Malkowski. Next, Rocky Piernick.
Well, down in my neck of the woods, we refer to that building as the $9 million pig barn. And that's really what it is. I go by there two or three times a week, and I don't see much activity at that particular building. Now, the arena is a little different. And a lot of that expense of the arena was borne by private donation. But pig facility, I'm sorry, I just can't quite swallow that one. If I was a county commissioner, I'd have screamed like a mashed cat to stop the funding of that thing. Thank you.
Rocky Piernick. Next, Paul Rock.
You know, it's I've been down to Big Piney many times in the past year or so, a year and a half or so, and it's hard to find somebody who speaks favorably of the $9 million pig barn. I have to say that. I think that was too much money to spend for that, and generally these big ticket items, maybe we should put them up to a vote, some kind of special election thing, see if people feel there's a sufficient need for it and are willing to spend the money. Thank you.
Paul Rock. Next to respond, Courtney Skinner.
The point we have learned is that we have the building. It is there. If we cannot learn from our mistakes, if they are mistakes and such, and move on from there, it is there and it is up. It is not at maximum use or even a minimum amount of use, but we have it. What we can learn from that $9 million cost is what do we do next and how do we do it and how do we go about it. And one suggestion here was the vote of the people. These things will continually crop up. It's there. We better move on and go from that point on.
Okay. Courtney Skinner. Next, Doug Vickery.
A lot of pigs could get in that barn, I know that. But I also know that part of the reason you're going to elect one of us is to use a common sense approach to a facility like that. I also know that prior to that construction, there was a group that had sat down and devised the means by which a facility like that could be used. And it was nothing as grand as what it appeared. Where that got lost in transition, who knows? But I happen to know by very good information that that building started out to be somewhere in the vicinity of a $1 million facility. That's still a lot of money. Where it went awry, I have no idea. But I know some of the individuals that sat on that committee, and they had a very difficult time understanding it. The facility, as we know it down there now, is got to have some use. There's no doubt about that. And so I'm going to throw a little gem out there that's probably going to just rain like my wife said, don't cuss, so I won't. The devil is that here at the last commissioner's meeting, lo and behold, there was a proposition put to the commission for a one-point-something facility. For, and don't come down on me too hard, folks, for the 4-H program. And I'm thinking, why would we build another one when we've really got a great big one and let's move them into it? Seems like a reasonable approach to me. We're going to have an associate here anyway. We'll have somebody that could serve the south end of Sublet County. We already have an individual here that's pretty astute. The best of both worlds. So I think foresight, I think common sense, when these things are brought forth,
You just need to sit back and say, stop. Thank you.
Doug Vickery. Next respondent, Ernie Kawa.
Well, I think we ought to form a committee. I know everybody's sick and tired of committees. But form a committee and come up with an answer. We're making a lot of money, putting a lot of money, you know, into savings and things like that. And form a committee to figure out for a five-year plan, nice-to-have buildings, something that isn't necessary, but it's nice to have. It's nice to have this fair building. It's nice to have a lot of things. It's nice to have a new golf course, you know, building. And let them oversee what the heck the county's going to spend for the next 5 years and have them prioritize. It's a nice-to-have, so it's not a necessity. It's just kind of extra, what people would like to have to show off their pig, go golfing. And you got White Pine Lodge that falls in there for entertainment. They're nice-to-have, but they're not necessities. And if you tell them how much you're willing to put into this account every year, maybe $1 million, maybe $2 million a year, and let the committee decide what has priorities, what you can build 1 year. If you build something for $3 million 1 year, maybe next year you might want to drop down to $1 million, whatever, and let them decide. People are going to go to the meetings, people are going to talk to them, and they're the ones that are going to have the input. It shouldn't be just thrown on the county commissioners, hey, we'd like to have this, it's only going to cost $1 million, turns out to be $9 million. Let the oversight committee go ahead and look into this and take all the bumps out of the road. Thank you.
Ernie Cowell. Next, Jim Latta.
You know, there's a disease that every one of us is susceptible to when we start to spend somebody else's money. And if you remember back, I think Mary told me the highest value of a mill was $6.7 million. So when that building was built, $6.7 million times 12 is about $80 million we were bringing in per year, almost $7 million a month. So the challenge for a county commissioner when he or she is approached by a citizen of the county about build some capital construction is, my goodness, we're making $7 million a month. How can I say no? So obviously, nobody seems to like that building now, but somebody did back then. The solution for today in that building is to get some good out of it. Tractor pulls, car shows, that sort of a thing. It's a tremendous facility, and all of those things can bring some economic value into our county. In the future, I think whoever is elected to the county commission has to be a little more concerned about setting aside money for the future. That's sort of my mantra as far as the finance side of county government is concerned. We won't always have $7 million a month or $3 million a month or whatever the amount might be. But that one's said and done. So we need to use it as much as we can. Thank you.
Okay, candidate Jim Latta. I think we have time. What do you have? One? They're telling me one. One more question from the media or from the public. I'm not sure which. But here is Bill Winnie with that question.
People perceive the county appears to have substantial reserves, yet there seems to be a lack of willingness for the county commissioners to partner with municipalities on important infrastructure projects. When these projects do occur, they don't seem to be equitable between both ends of the county. If you're elected, what will you do to try to improve the situation?
And we begin with Kay Malkowski.
Yeah, I happened to have a visit with the Sheriff's Department. And because the county basically takes care of the law enforcement in both Pinedale, Big Piney, and Marbleton, the savings to the individual towns are between $1.5 to $1 million each, probably. And that's just a rough estimate. But there's a substantial amount of savings right there. And that's something that I don't think is maybe penciled in each time we come to the county for money for infrastructure and stuff. And that's not saying that we don't need it, but I do think that needs to be acknowledged, that the fact the county is doing something for the towns, and, you know, they're they're trying. The county's not telling people no that they can't have money. So I think it works. I think they're working at it. Thank you.
Kay Malkowski. Our next respondent, Rocky Piernick.
I must have misunderstood the question. Could you read that again, please?
Let me dig it up here. Hang on. You're starting to consolidate notes. People perceive the county appears to have substantial reserves, and yet there seems to be a lack of willingness to partner with municipalities on important infrastructure projects. And when these partnerships do occur, they don't seem to be equitable between both ends of the county. If elected, how would you try to improve the situation?
Okay, well, I have a real problem with the reserves. 2 years ago, one of the candidates at this forum stated that the county had $184 million in reserves. Now, since that time, this number has changed. One report was $100 million in reserve. One of the other county commissioners says, well, we have $120 million in reserve. Well, 184 to 100 to 124, somewhere this math is confusing. And when these municipalities approach the county because of these numbers, they think that this money is available upon request. They don't seem to respond to the term reserve. My question is, what is the reserve? $184 million, $100 million, $123 million, $160 million. How about letting the people know what is reality? Simple question, simple mathematics.
Rocky Piernick. Next to respond, Paul Rock.
the county does have a bunch of reserves. I'm a little upset. You folks who live in Pinedale, you know, we're staring down the barrel of significant increases to our water rates. I think the county could be a big help to the town of Pinedale by helping with some of those water infrastructure projects. Why they're not helping, I don't know. I don't know whether Pinedale's been bad or something. And as to the... You know, if there is inequity between how much is spent in the North County versus how much is spent in the South County, I mean, that's just going to happen, and I don't think we should get in the habit of, well, they spend $3 million in Pinedale for a water project, water infrastructure project, so we have to spend $3 million down in Big Piney for a infrastructure water project when there may or may not be a need for it. You know, I don't think having some kind of zero balance between the north and south ends of the county is really, really necessary or even intelligent. Thank you.
Paul Rock. Next to respond, Courtney Skinner.
First off, I have a little bit of trouble with south and north. It is Sublette County, and I want to keep it as Sublette County. As Red Green would say, we're all in this together. And I do believe that the county has helped in the municipalities. I have seen them in several different fashions in the city for the Marbleton water, the Marbleton sewer. I have seen them in other funding that comes into the city, so I think there is a cooperative working relationship with both, all of the municipalities. Whether it is sufficient or that is a different question, but we see each of the towns, the cities, and Marbleton, Big Piney, Pinedale, and that, improving from some of the help and funding that the county has put into it. And I think of a great big tower down by the senior center outside of Marbleton as one example.
Thank you, Courtney Skinner. Next, Doug Vickery.
In my endeavor to get elected, I had an opportunity to visit both the Big Piney Town Council and the Marbleton Town Council. And quite frankly, I just asked the question, how do you get along with the county? Do they help when it's necessary? And both entities there responded very positively, said yes, county has been a boon to what we've asked. They've helped in a lot of ways that you and I don't even know about. So I suspect that if all the cards are on the table, you will find that the county in a myriad of ways has helped, as they should in instances, the incorporated towns that we have here. The budget thing, I'm not too sure about the budgetary processes yet, but when I see, and I don't know what the number is, I think the number I saw was $130 million, so it's bouncing around in there someplace. But I see a county budget this year come out at $202 million, and so I wonder what really are reserves, because to me, $202 million is a lot more than 130 or 40 or 50 or whatever that number is. So, yes, I think I agree with some of these others. I think we need to kind of know, as residents of this community, what we really are looking at. I can do this in 30 seconds, Tyler. I think it's incumbent to look at those numbers and just to see what it is. They shouldn't be a secret. Do we have $500 million in reserves? I don't know. But we do need to know. Thank you.
Doug Vickery responding. Next, Ernie Kawa.
Okay, I agree with Paul and Courtney. This is Sublette County. We shouldn't be north, south. They got more money we got. We got more money they got. That shouldn't be. As far as the reserves go, I think the county commissioners ought to sit down and define what the reserves are to be used for, period. That way everybody knows what the reserves are. You don't just say, well, you got $120 million available, so we want 40. We want to do this, we want to do that. It's back to the old saying, you know, what is it supposed to be used for? And once you figure that out, you figure out your priorities and you base your decision on needs. The county has given money to the towns, and I know the Joint Powers Boards each got $1 million with Pinedale, Big Piney, and Marbleton, for money to be allocated for the use in town projects. So the money is there. Now, if we've got some kind of priority to come up, maybe the three towns ought to get together and figure, well, you need that million, can you buy with a little less because maybe Pinedale or Marbleton or Big Piney has got something that they need to address and it falls under the definition of being able to use the reserves. Thank you.
Ernie Kawa. Next, Jim Latta.
I think equitability to each community in our county is ridiculous. The situation is the boss. When one county entity needs help, then you help them. You don't automatically pay everybody else the same amount of money. That's childish, I think. So I don't think that one is an issue at all. Are our reserves substantial? If you look at the county budget, we had $132 million odd dollars at the beginning of the fiscal year in total reserves. The 202 includes expenditures as well. So 132, and we took about $29 million, something like that, and sat it aside to address senior housing issues. So there's about $103 million, something of that nature. Our total expenditures for the fiscal year beginning July 1 are some $61,938,000, so about $62 million. So 60% of our reserves is expended every year if we have no tax revenue. And our tax revenue is not guaranteed by any means. So it makes sense to me that our tax or our reserve account is not overfunded by any means. Matter of fact, it probably needs to be a little bit bigger to protect us out into the future. Thank you.
Jim Latta. Next, John Lynn.
Well, there's a lot of figures flying around here, and I'm going to clear some things up. I think it's important that this is known. And this is my calculation. I figure we have around $160 million in reserves. We had $131 million in reserves before this year's revenue. With this budget, like Jim said, we set aside the excess revenue for the Sublet Center rebuild project and the housing. That could be maybe $30 million, but we have all this money budgeted to reserve accounts, and it's all being taken care of and drawing interest. Now, the Joint Powers Boards, and I helped create these, were developed as a novel way of helping the towns deal with impacts. Impacts from rapid development. For instance, Marbleton's sewer system was being overloaded by the raw sewage that was coming in from the oil and gas field. They could not handle it. It was an emergency situation. They could not get money from the SLIP board fast enough to fix their problem. The idea was that we had enough money that we could help the towns. We formed the Joint Powers Boards. We funded them. We have given the towns in kind because we have been taking the law enforcement responsibilities for the towns for a considerable amount of time, and that is probably where the equity comes in, because Pinedale's law enforcement responsibility is roughly the same as Marlborough and Big Piney's combined. Now, those Joint Powers Boards have been funded, and we've spent nearly $40 million in the 6 years that the Joint Powers Boards have been operating that we have given the three towns. Now, that is not sitting back and not spending your reserves. We have put the towns in as good as high a priority as we could, but we have helped the towns of, or the communities of Daniel, of Boulder, of Bondurant, Kendall Valley, by building all the different things that we've done for community centers.
Candidate John Lynn. And if my notes are correct, that's everybody. We're going to do closing statements next, but before then, I just have a couple of announcements I'd like to make. At KPIN Radio here in Pinedale, we've been getting phone calls with people saying, why aren't you talking about the amendments that are going to be on the ballot and letting us know what they're all about? Well, the amendments that are going to be on the ballot are not going to be, I repeat, not going to be, on the primary election ballot. They will be on the general election ballot in November. There are good questions coming in, people wanting to know, well, didn't a court decision alter Amendment A and so forth? We will go over all of that prior to the general election. So, yes, we're going to address it, but that's not on this ballot, so we don't need to address it at this time. The other thing is there's one other candidate that will be on the ballot unopposed, and that is Janess Saxton. And people are maybe asking, well, why is she on the ballot when county officials don't come up for another 2 years? Well, she took office in midterm, and when somebody takes office in midterm through an appointment, they do have to face election at the next election, and this is what brings Janess Saxton up. She apologizes for not being here. As I think many of you know, she had a horrible fire at her home, and they're having to spend quite a bit of time in taking care of paperwork and everything else that you can imagine, or can't imagine, if your house caught on fire. So, Janess, we hopefully we'll see you here in a couple of years, but for now, she's unopposed, but she will be on the ballot. Other people are calling in saying, can we see the ballot? Well, first of all, anybody can go by the county clerk's office and get a sample ballot. If you go to PinedaleOnline.com, Don has four of the ballots posted. That's not all of them, but she has enough posted that you can get a general idea of what the Republican or the Democrat ballot, being whether you're in the bulk of Sublet County or in that unique Daniel Bondurant area, will look like, keeping in mind, A, that the precinct committee men and women will be different on each precinct, and B, the order that the candidates will be in are different. Get that right? Okay, Mary's nodding yes. So you can come by and look at the exact ballot for your precinct at the county clerk's office or PinedaleOnline.com, click on Pinedale Local, click on Sample Ballots, and she's got four there, which at least will let you know the names that will be on your ballot other than precinct committee man and woman. Now, on Precinct Committee Man and Precinct Committee Woman, and these are the basically the directors of the local political parties, there's only one contested race, and that's in Pinedale West. Pinedale West is 1-3. All of the others are uncontested. On the Democrat side, there's only one precinct that has anybody who has filed, and that's Precinct 1-1, Pinedale. Leaving the Democratic Precinct Committee Man and Women races wide open to write-ins, because unlike the other races, you can win a Precinct Committee Man race or Precinct Committee Woman race with one vote. Often a person writes their own name in, and that's how they become elected to be part of their political party. These are the people that meet to pick three candidates when somebody cannot fulfill their term, and then the county commissioners narrow it down to one. It's an important position. It's basically the governing board of your political party. So especially for the Democrats out there, you're going to see a lot of no candidates filed on all of the precincts except for 1-1 Pinedale. You might consider writing your own name in and taking an active role in your political party. All right, with those announcements out of the way, we're ready to do our closing statements, and then we're going to adjourn so that we can take time to meet one-on-one with the public here. If you're listening on the radio, you might want to hop in your car, come to the Lovett Room of the Public Library in Pinedale, so you can also meet with our candidates. All right, maintaining our continued staggering of the order of respondents, we'll start closing comments with Rocky Piernick. Rocky.
Well, thank you all for coming, and thank you very, very much for your interest in our local politics or our local execution of government. I think this is an excellent opportunity to elect someone that you feel is probably the best representative of the people. Simply that, the representative of the people. What do the people want? Not what I want, not what these people want. But what do you people want? That's why I think that you should vote for me, Sublette County Commissioner Roman Rocky Piernick. Thank you.
Rocky Piernick. Next to respond, Paul Rock.
Thanks to everybody for coming. Thanks to the media folks and Bob for setting up the forum here and down in Marbleton last night. Like I said in my opening statement, I'm not against anything. You have to come to me, tell me what you want, tell me where the money is. We may be facing some trying times in the years coming up. Tax revenues are going to be down. We're going to have to concentrate more on what we need rather than what we want. You're going to need somebody with an ability to say no. I think I'm one of those people. Thank you.
Paul Rock. With the next closing statement, Courtney Skinner.
Thank you very much. And I wish to be the voice of the people. As a Democratic candidate, you know that I've been up on the podium a few times before. You can say one thing about me, I'm persistent. But I want and I ask to be the voice of the people because of my interest, because I grew up here, and I want to return to this county some of the things that it has given me. I picked up an old flyer that I had from maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and a closing summation, and it sort of sums up my feelings and my wants, and pretty much in a particular order. And the first two in the line are clean air and clean water that I'd be striving for. To develop, use, and protect the waters originating within Sublette County. Unity of purpose, a joining of all the citizens of Sublette County for the unity of purpose. The mineral displacement fund that we haven't talked about. Accountability, economic development, and economic diversity. Open communication, a very much of a want in this county. Science for a changing world, to use science. Preserve our Western heritage. Enhance our wildlife. Increase educational opportunities.
transparency, integrity, and I have the experience. Thank you.
Courtney Skinner with his closing comment. Next, Doug Vickery.
You know, last night I sat next to Courtney, and he summed up his deal kind of just like he did, and I said, can I borrow your notes? Because you said about all of it, but perhaps not quite. Last night I was remiss in thanking the media. Thank you for attending. But I suspect, as important as those two are, I thank the individuals that have participated as candidates. I think the national media should take a look at how this has been. There's been no blood slinging. We haven't cussed at one another. We are, I think, what we are is neighbors. And whoever wins this election when we walk out of the voting booth will still be neighbors and friends. At least that's my perception. We talk about experience. 68 years gives you a lot of experience in a lot of different ways. Had an opportunity to sit down with the Secretary of Interior in his office in D.C. That was an awful, awe-ing, inspiring experience. I was president of a state agency for 3 different years. That gave me that experience. I currently serve on the Weed and Pest Board here, and at some points in time, that is an experience. But I guess the most important thing to me would be to serve this community, because that will be a privilege. And I may run over because I've got one more thing to say. If I'm elected and my term is over, I want to be remembered as my father-in-law said of an individual he knew. And he said it like this, that's a good fella. And that was coming from Bus Fear. And if those of you who knew him, that was an accolade, believe me. Thank you.
Closing statement of Doug Vickery. Next, closing statement from Ernie Kawa.
Well, I want to thank everybody for coming. And I've got a good question for you. What makes a good commissioner? The real answer is you have to be willing to listen, investigate, and take action. I've talked to many folks, both county employees and concerned citizens. You have told me about mismanagement, waste, wrongdoings, favoritism, conflicts of interest, etc. You have also told me how to save money and cut expenses. You have been giving me the insight into what goes on behind the scenes. You have told me your concerns and asked me what I'm going to do about it. I have listened, and I hear you loud and clear. I have investigated a lot of what you told me. Some of it is misinformation or lack of getting all the facts. Also, there are a lot of things said that have merit and need to be followed up with and addressed. This is where the action part comes in. I am willing to take the bull by the horns and deal with these problems head on. There's only one problem. Only an elected county official commissioner can take the steps needed to address and resolve these issues. If you are committed to resolving these problems, I will be willing to lead the charge. August 21st is coming, approaching quickly, and you have the power to vote and to get control of the situation. Thank you for listening to me.
Closing statement of Ernie Kawa. Next, with closing, is Jim Latta.
I checked the natural gas price at Old Powell this afternoon on the Internet. It was at $2.67. A year ago, it was just under $4. So regardless of the discussion that John and I are having chasing numbers through the budget, our tax revenue appears to be going down from where it was before. So I still think the possibility exists that we have to invade our reserves in order to maintain the level of services for the next fiscal year. So we must be conservative and agile in our management style. I have a bachelor's in business with a focus on finance, coupled with 30 years of experience in the insurance and finance industry. I can help guide our county to a sustainable and secure future. It would be my privilege to serve as your county commissioner. Thank you very much for coming tonight.
Thank you, Jim. Next, to provide a closing statement, John Lynn.
I've worked hard for Sublette County. and I intend to continue that same work ethic. I believe in fiscal responsibility. When I first became a commissioner, we had roughly $23 to $25 million in the bank. Through prudent decisions by this and prior commissions, I've helped to save $125 or more million. Although we have a surplus of money, we should still be committed to the rainy day and keep our vision conservative. I stand firm on multiple use of public lands. I want to see senior housing in Marbleton and Big Piney and the Sublette Center rebuilt in Pinedale. We all want to stay in Sublette County in the event that we or our parents need extra care. I believe we can pay for these costs from our revenues and not tax our citizens extra for these worthy and needed projects. I believe in protecting property rights. I will continue to promote local contractors for county projects. I desire clean air, water, and open space. We must work with gas field operators to lessen impacts to all our resources and people from rapid development of minerals. I have advocated for funding to the Conservation District for range monitoring to help with permit renewal and foster new concepts such as habitat leasing to help keep family agricultural operations viable to maintain those open spaces. The youth are our future, and I encouraged increasing scholarships to Sublette County graduates from 3 to 10 each year. I'm committed to improving the safety of our Class 1 roads, and I believe the Class 2 program should continue. I think we must maintain the great partnerships with the towns through the Joint Powers Boards. You need someone with experience who knows the issues and is not afraid to stand up and fight for Sublette County. There will be no learning curve for me. You've invested in me, and I can do the best job now. It has always been important to me to be available to all constituents and have a policy of returning calls or emails. I'm always interested in the citizens' opinions and concerns, and I welcome your call. I work for you. Vote John Lynn on August 21st.
John Lynn with his closing statement. And with the closing statement, Kay Malkowski.
I've been very humbled by being in this position to ask for people's votes. I appreciate the time that you guys have come and the time I've spent with people. I don't know everything. I would be the first one to tell you that. I certainly don't know numbers. That's why I'll call Jim when I need a question answered and say, Jim, what do you think on this? Tell me. You had some good ideas, and then we'll run it through the commissioners. I'm not an expert on everything, but I am very willing to learn. I'm very willing to go talk to people and very willing to listen. I will be a good county commissioner, and I appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Kay Malkowski. You've heard from the candidates. Now it's time to vote on Tuesday. First of all, if you're not going to be here to vote on Tuesday, early voting is happening right now at the county clerk's office. If you need to register to vote early, you can go to the county clerk's office, vote, and register all at the same time. If you are voting on Election Day at your polling place and you're not registered to vote, Wyoming is a little different than some of the other states. You can register on Election Day. You can also change your party affiliation on Election Day. From some of you who have come from states where an independent can vote for anybody, it doesn't work that way in Wyoming. Independent is kind of like non-participant. It means you can't vote in either the Democrat or the Republican primary. So just a little bit of background. Again, if you're new or maybe you're just becoming of age, you do need to be a citizen of the United States. You need to be 18 years of age. You need to be, of course, a resident here, not currently adjudicated, mentally incompetent, and not been convicted of a felony. Of course, if your rights have been restored, then it's okay. Best thing to do is call the county clerk, Mary Langford, or anybody in her staff and office. They can help you with knowing what precinct you live in, where to vote. And Election Day is this Tuesday. Mary, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. She's nodding yes. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Polls are open. KPIN radio will be on the air Tuesday night. We'll bring you these election results so you'll be able to know right away who won the election. Thank you very much to the candidates. I know you've been through this two nights in a row. Thank you to the media people, Sublet Examiner, Pinedale Online, Pinedale Roundup, and to our sound fellow here, Michael Anderson, for running sound. Let's take the next little bit of time and mix and mingle with the candidates. For people still on the radio, come on out. The candidates are still here. You can still meet them. We're in the Lovett Room of the Public Library. And, Michael,
looks like we made it through with things working pretty well.
Yeah, I think we were glitch-free here tonight.
All right, we made it. I still don't take for granted when we call for a recording and the recording works. That isn't always the way it happens.
No, I'm glad it did come off without a hitch. Sometimes I'm not as fortunate, so...
Well, tell you what, we do want to give a thank you to the sponsors who made the broadcast possible tonight. Tree and Lawn Care, remember, if you've got trees that aren't looking as good as they should be, let Tree and Lawn Care come out, take a look, and see what they can do to bring it back to life. The phone number for Tree and Lawn Care, 859-8629. Again, 859-8629. No Hassle Auto Glass, remember, they will come to you. That's why it's no hassle. They'll come to take care of your auto glass needs wherever you want, your home, your office. Give them a call at 859-8619. Laura and Eric Marincic, thank you for being a sponsor, 859-8619. And also a big thank you going out to James Thomas of Aflac.
Aflac.
There we go. We got our duck here. Aflac, and also of High Mountain Real Estate. By the way, he's got a couple other properties we didn't mention that are a little less money than the first ones we mentioned. Got a $99,900 piece of property at 1958 State Highway 352, Cora. That looks like a beautiful location for a building site. He's got another one at Four Hill Road, Cora, Wyoming, $79,900. Gorgeous view of the mountains. If you're looking for a place to build, tell you what, you want to give him a call and let him help you out in finding that piece of property. Again, James Thomas, High Mountain Real Estate is where you find him, and also handling insurance for
Aflac.
All right. Again, thank you very much, Michael. We appreciate your help here. Let's see if my wife, Karen, is back in the studio. Are you there, Karen?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob.
All right. Looks like Karen's there to go back to normal and stop the recording. We'll try to get these recordings up in the next day or two. They will be both on PinedaleOnline.com and also on SubletTimes.com.
Yeah, I just wanted to say last night I wasn't quite decided, but tonight I definitely am decided, and I hope that some of the folks out there feel the same way.
Well, this is unusual to have these many people running for county commissioner. I don't know when we've had these many, so I'm glad we did these forums because it gives the public a chance to get to know more about these candidates.
Definitely.
All right, this is KPIN Pinedale. Karen, back to you, and thank you, everybody who listened. Again, thank you.
Good night, Sublet.
Thank you to all the participants. Karen?
Okay, thanks, Bob. Thanks, Mike. Talk to you later.